passage of Scripture before we begin, I was thinking of the words of Joshua. And Joshua turns to the people after they had exercised their faith and taken the promised land, and he said, "You have done all that Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded you. You obeyed him in everything. And you have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you." Carried out the mission the Lord God gave you. And in a little bit, we'll look at how Boniface seeks to carry out the mission the Lord God gave you. But would you join me in prayer? God, we heard your holy word, and we ask you to speak through your word. Speak through me. Speak with power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've been doing another look at courageous faith, this time in the form of Boniface, and I have to tell you, I really like this guy. He would have been a fun guy to meet. I would have even enjoyed him more meeting him when I was younger. Because he really went for it. He came from the Celtic type culture background in Britain and Welsh and Scots and Ireland. Probably originally born in a Germanic tribe, but then went over there and was raised in that. And as this culture, the Scotch Irish Welsh, became a tad independent people. A people that were not afraid to speak their mind, which eventually came to this country and were not afraid to speak their mind. And a significant part of it of our American Revolution. So it comes out of that culture that just breeds people that go for it. And he was raised by a pastor like this. Or not raised, but he was nurtured by a pastor like this. The pastor that Boniface had, these are more primitive times, like 16 to 600 AD or something like this. He preached with a sword. In case anyone complained. If, I don't know if it was on his side or just by his pulpit, but everybody knew it was there. And there were dangers in that time to speak the truth. But he was unafraid. And this lack of fear comes forth in Boniface, and it's kind of cool. Just to give you a sense, did any of you when you were younger ever play dodgeball? How many of you liked playing dodgeball? Okay, how many of you? Now, by the way, you would get with the young bucks, and they didn't play dodgeball. They threw boulders at each other. Well, as fearful as that is, after having given it a thought, at least you can't throw it as far or as fast. But they were throwing boulders at each other. And it was just sort of a rugged thing. Did you see it come out of bulletin? See the forearms on that guy? That's just how I envisioned it. And by the way, our Lord Jesus would have had forearms on the back of the carton. So he's a strong, powerful fellow. But he is brilliant in school and academics of the time. Writes a Latin primer. I mean, he was just so gifted that everyone assumed he would be made bishop. A bishop isn't quite what it is today, but it was. How could they not make him bishop? Because he's the most charismatic, most brilliant, etc. But he writes these words. "I yearn to go forth where the dangers are. Not because I particularly enjoy those dangers, but because I know it is there that the battle rages for the soul of men and nations. God, set me before the front lines. Let me not end my days in comfort and complacency. Is that how you started this morning? In prayer? He longed to get the good news of Jesus Christ out and would welcome the danger if he could do that. Quite a fellow. And as he longs for this, he is seeking a mission. He wants to have this mission from God. And before long, it becomes apparent to him that he can go and minister to the Germanic tribes, which are essentially very much influenced by earlier invaders from the North Country. And four, and pretty violent. And so he decides to go, okay, and I want you to imagine the culture he's going to. It was a pagan culture where violence permeated culture. To translate that in today's terms, you wouldn't be able to go turn on the TV or go to a movie without violence. Graphic violence. You wouldn't be able to turn to the news without stories of violence that surrounds us. Except they didn't have the news, it was word of mouth. And that was the culture. It was a culture where women often were objects and were sacrificed, either as slaves or as just to appease the gods that the tribes feared. It was a climate or culture where life was not valued, where death was to be expected. To give you an example of like that, it would be like if you could go to a place nearby where you'd be afraid to walk through or drive through, especially at night. A culture that permeated everything with fear, even to those that surrounded that culture. But the place where the philosophy of Thor, in a matter of speaking, the god of thunder permeated, and that justice was like a hammer where you enforced your will. A culture where to share faith was to risk death. Never mind ridicule. And so, by the way, I don't have to relate to anything like that. And of course, we do. It's modernized, but it's there. And it surrounds us in different ways. But I want to look at how Boniface faced this. He had a strategy of mission, of evangelism, and outreach. It was a four-pronged strategy: discipleship, generational focus, fearless confrontation with dark powers, and the transformation of a culture. Discipleship, generational focus, fearless confrontation with dark powers, and the transformation of a culture. And Boniface was prepared to die. Like Paul, he would have held on to the words of Paul, where it says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He was prepared to die for these things. And we'll see what follows. Well, the first thing, discipleship, we're pretty acquainted with. And when he journey, the equivalent of the church and the believers were functionally invited. They were afraid to live their faith. They were afraid to speak their faith. They were afraid. And he began to reestablish mission cells where they could share their faith with one another, where they could grow together and share with others. He took people with him as he did his missionary journeys. And they would see that he was unafraid because God was with him. Now, to affect a culture, we have to be discipling someone. If there's someone you're seeking to lift up, seeking to show them how to live, seeking to believe in them so that they can hold on to the new life in God or the hope of a productive life. Is there someone you're discipling? Is there someone that you know and at least are praying for? One of the things that we do in this church is divert the young adult ministry because we will not change our culture if we do not begin to train it. The second thing he looked at was generational focus, and of course, the conversion in our church is targeted towards the young adult. Boniface realized that if he simply reached the people of his own generation, that it was so likely that after they died, their faith would fail their next generation. Like in the book of Judges, there arose a generation that knew not God. And so he focused on putting mechanisms in place, providing schools. He had copyists writing down literature and scripture and worked on every level to raise the young, to teach to read, to teach them the Word of God. Now, we've all been heavily occupied or heard a great deal about the tragic loss of Trayvon Martin. I was talking to two women who were here for the logo event. Another way to just give healthy outlets for young people. And they work with kids in trouble. And one of them had had a fair amount of experience in Detroit, and he grew up there. It was a black woman. She said if that same thing had happened in Detroit from a black man to a black teenager, it would barely make the news. We focus on an event, and that's good. That awakens us to the need to pray for our culture. Praise God. But realize we need to be part of focusing on our culture and encouraging and supporting our schools. Are you praying for the young? Are you praying for our schools? Are you praying for our Sunday school? Are you praying for our vacation Bible school? Are you linking in with the Touch of Hope and trying to get school supplies so that these young people will have the tools to engage appropriately in a school activity? You see, when we volunteer, when we give, when we pray, when we have a heart for it, when we demand of our politicians something more, instead of settling for something less, we begin to affect part of this is realizing, as it says in Ephesians, I need to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You can remove a George Zimmerman and nothing changes. Unless people change, as they come to Christ, as our society is changed. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Never put on the armor of God. Stand your ground. Moses wrote these words, let us stand in what is right and prepare our souls for trial. Let us wait upon God's strengthening aid and say to God, oh Lord, you have been our refuge in all generations. What we settle for, you could say, is what we deserve. But God calls us to higher things, of making a difference where we are. And every time we see the things that happen in our schools where there's lack of support, or teachers, if you're just so tired you're not giving enough effort, we lose the opportunity to stand for God and the excellence that we bring to what we do. What a discipleship of example. By caring about the next generation. I love another quote of Boniface. Speaking of the church, he said, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's stresses. Our duty is not to abandon the ship, but to keep her on course. It is so easy in our world to say, what is the use? God is saying you, not what can you, what's the use, but what can you be used to do? Making a difference and teaching people to read and just even providing the school supplies or whatever it is. Or encouraging a young man or a young woman, many of whom have not received encouragement. This third strategy was the fearless confrontation with the dark powers. Some people don't believe in Satan. Some people don't believe in radical evil. If I was not a Christian, if I did not believe that, having been a counterintelligence agent, where I have dealt with people in the nitty-gritty of their lives, I believe it. Having worked a few years in prison, where I've seen what happens, I believe in radical evil. Having lived as long as I have in this world, I believe in radical evil. What's needed is radical good. And radical can be simply as doing what you can do. Boniface realized that the power of God, the power of Christ, was greater than the radical evil. You see, once again, it's tempted to say, what's the use? But Boniface responded to that by saying, God, how can you use me? these words, let us stand fast in what is right and prepare our souls for trial. Let us neither be dogs that do not bark or silent onlookers, nor paid servants who run away before the wolf. Instead, where the battle rages, let us find ourselves. Run towards the roar of the lion. Run towards the roar of the battle. That is where Christ's most glorious victory shall be won. We need to face what we're running away from and get on with God so we can do what we can do. Let's stop focusing on what we can't do and, like Boniface, do what we can. And most of us can't be Bonifaces. I can't throw boulders at you guys as much as I would love to. But I can pray and pray for you. I can do what I can do. You know that years ago I worked with juvenile homicide cases. I worked with kids that killed 1 to 3 people each. I didn't really think that they were going to suddenly become Sunday school kids. I did think they could at least for a time know what it was like to be loved with the love of God. And count on God to make a difference. Not in my efforts, but God using me. The fourth strategy he had was a transformation of culture. And again, the arts, the school, the music. Whenever there's a culture crisis, what does the school system do? Not because they want to. They cut the arts, they cut music, they cut this, they cut that. And in a secular culture, we don't want anything religious. I help somebody pray. If you can't pray in the school, pray at home. If you can do anything to support and to let the politicians know, our representatives, that we stand for lifting these kids up through instruction, through all of the ways. Now, I'll conclude with two stories. They're relatively close to each other. Boniface was faced, how can I break this culture of Thor? How can I break it? See, the people were scared to death. If they did something wrong, a bolt of lightning would strike. Now, by the way, over the years, occasionally I've had people that haven't been to church 10, 20 years. And they come to church and they say, I just hope the roof won't fall in and our bolt of lightning will strike me. Fears to occupy. Actually, what they're really afraid is that you'll jump on them. But Boniface wanted to reach these people in this culture of fear and violence. And he thought about it and he heard that there was Thor's tree. It was a big oak tree. And the witch doctors or priests of the pagans would circle the tree. And they would worship Thor or the pagan gods of the forest. Because that was Thor's tree. And they would do it at certain times, especially. And at one of those times, Boniface came, and he had his like priest robe thing on. And underneath it, he had an axe. You saw it on the cover. And he went up to the tree and he essentially said to the people, so that you will know the power of God. And he started swinging this axe. Have any of you ever chopped down a big tree with simply an axe? It's a lot of work. They wouldn't have called me for it, they'd call me lightning, because I never struck twice in the same place. strengthen. Literally. He said, don't do this. The Lord will strike you down. And it took him probably a few hours to chop this tree down and just continue swinging the axe. And when the tree finally crashed to the ground, he said, you do not need to make sacrifice to a God that has no power. He said, the God that has all power has made a sacrifice for you, and he invited you to follow his God. Virtually a whole village kneeled before God. They were baptized. And just to show you that Boniface was practical, must have been a little bit of Presbyterian then. He used the wood from that tree to build a church. He was trying to show in a way appropriate to that age, if not to ours, that God is yet God. But they were celebrating this 3 days later. A youth came running to him. Came running to him and said, my sister, who was like 14 or 15, is about to be sacrificed to the forest gods. They had tied her down, and at the appropriate time, the priest would take a dagger and come down into her heart. As this was going on, Boniface heard of it, and he ran to the village. He saw the priest with the dagger raised, and he ran to be between the dagger and the woman. Because there was such little time, he had no time to protect himself. And the dagger came down and it hit him in the chest. But being a big man, he had a big wooden cross. And the dagger hit the cross. It split the cross in half. But Boniface was on. Village, almost all of the people bowed to God, and they sought him. He encountered the culture. He took the risk to save people from their circumstances. And to God. And you fast forward about 30 years later. He's 71. He takes a boat to some of the pagans again. He and his party are ambushed, and they're all killed. Another witness to the willingness to pay the price. Saints often don't make happy endings. Luther King knew it would come. Boniface wrote, I know I shall die, and I shall die on time. Therefore, I must make the most of the moments between here and there. And the way I can make the most of these moments is to live them in terms of that which I know to be absolutely true and unchanging. I will not be swayed from this conviction, though my moments may be short or long. Even in death, he saw it. There for his people and to change them so that they could be lifted up for God and makes it for him, for his creation, and envision for us. It's interesting. This is Fulton from Ron Martin's mother. Right after sensing everything, she said, "Lord,